Let's all stand together tonight if you will. I mean, ready to have church tonight and to worship the Lord. Let's all sing together if you will. So let's just pray. Came to do just that tonight, just to praise the Lord and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What an honor it is for us to be gathered together again tonight and to be able to worship Him. We have a couple of written requests tonight. First of all, we'd like to welcome Brother Sam Parker is with us tonight and his two sons, Levi and Aaron. God bless you. Good to have you in the service tonight. We want to continue to remember Sister Vicki Tidwell in our prayers, that God will continue to strengthen her. She's just been really weak. And also Sister Christy, you know, she's out of the hospital and she is doing much better, but she's still very weak in body. And we're just looking for God just to fully restore. And we also want to continue to remember Brother Matt and his family, that God will continue to comfort them and be with them. And Sister Ashley, testimony tonight, she was pretty bad shape too, and just between Murfreesboro and Tullahoma, said the Lord just intervened and everything seems to be back to normal. So we thank the Lord for that. And also I spoke with my mom today, and my dad was out working in the yard, and he had twisted his knee and he was in pretty bad shape, and mama had to help him in the house and help him to do everything, and he was just laying in the bed listening to a message. And he said, all of a sudden, he felt the presence of the Lord come into the room, and he was praying. And he said, watch this, honey. He started moving that leg back and forth. All is well. So God is still answering prayer. How many believes that tonight? We also want to remember Sister Becky Hammock in her prayer. She's not feeling well tonight. The Lord will just touch her. Remember all the Christians and in Ukraine, and we'll remember Israel tonight. One another. Let's pray for one another tonight. And if you have something on your heart, just make it known by an uplifted hand. God sees what our needs are in this very service tonight, and He knows what we have need of. Amen. Brother Jonathan, come tonight if you would lead us in prayer, brother.
Amen. You happy to be in church? Did you come expecting tonight? I sure did. So let's worship Him together. Let's pray together. Join together. Heavenly Father, Lord, one more opportunity we have. Lord, if it would be the last, let us not go away ashamed of what we give You, Lord. Let us give You all that we have tonight, Lord. All that's on our hearts, Lord. All that's on our minds. Let us worship You in a mighty way tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, let everything fall aside, Lord, that would hinder the service, Lord. Every spirit that would try to come in and keep someone from receiving victory, Lord, we bind it, Lord, and put it aside, Lord. Lord, we've come to this time, Lord, to worship You, Lord. And Lord, we've laid our petitions down. We laid our, Lord, our sacrifices down. We've laid our hearts down, our desires, our sicknesses, Lord. We've laid them at Your feet, expecting You to move, Lord. You see every need that we have. You see every condition that we have. We ask You, Lord, to move in a mighty way, Lord. Send Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Move amongst Your people tonight, Lord. Touch Brother Mark, touch the song service, Lord. Let us enter into an atmosphere that we forget about everything that has happened, Lord, and forget about our concerns and just give our lives into Your hands, Lord. And touch our Brother Sam tonight, Lord. Lord, would You speak through him in a mighty way, Lord? Would You step, Lord, into the vessel, into his mind, Lord, and let it be You speaking to us, Lord. Lord, we give You honor. We give You praise. Lord, we love You, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We praise you, Lord. Come be with us, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In your lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Are you ready to worship the Lord tonight? Amen. 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 Let's sing together, if you will. Well, I was alone and idle, and I was a sinner too. Then I heard a voice from heaven. He said, there is work to do. So I took my master's hand, and I joined that heavenly band. And now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You see, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I lost my flag in battle, but my staff is in my hand. Oh, and I'm taking it to Jesus, just over in the glory land. Well, in a distant land I trod, crying, sinner, come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Fighting for my Savior, and this battle, it's almost won, and the trumpet will be sounding, the coming of the sun. I'm going to lay my armor down, and take up my robe and crown, and then I'll walk the golden. So thankful that I'm on the battlefield for him tonight. And I'm just going to keep on the firing line. Brother Nathaniel and Sister Elizabeth, good to have you all in the service tonight too. Lord bless you. Be flat.
Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, keep on the firing line. that we all must face. And if we die in body, it'll be no disgrace. For a coward in the service, he'll never find a place. So keep on the firing line. Well, you gotta fight, be brave against all evil, and never run nor even lag behind. And if you would win for God and the bride, just keep on the firing line. Now God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. And be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Well, you gotta fight, be brave against all evil, and never, never run nor even lag behind. And if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing. Brother, we'll be glad, oh, that we keep on the firing line. And how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had, oh, just keep on the firing line. And when we see the souls we have helped to win, oh, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, and with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Well, you gotta fight, be brave against all evil, and never, never run nor even lag behind. And if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the fight. Be brave against all evil, and never, never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on firing.
Amen. So many people are giving up and getting off, but Lord, help me stay on the front lines and fight for the Lord tonight. Keep on the firing line.
Well, I'm going all the way just to see him.
servant. I'm going all the way. I might have to cry. I might have to walk all alone. But I'm still going all the way to see him. I've determined in my heart, I've come too far to turn back now. Satan is a loser. Our pastor told us the other day, he said, when we get to the end and we say, are you the one? You the one? He's nothing. God has already defeated him. He's already a defeated being. We serve a living Savior that's won death, hell, and the grave. We're just so thankful tonight. Amen. I just have a question for you. Who's on the Lord's side of me? Amen. Let's sing it.
Oh, who is on the Lord's side?
Lord's side, you're blessed tonight. I'm on the Lord's side. Let's sing.
And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling. As the days go by, oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
And they are saved.
say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that name tonight. We'll let you have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come and receive the evening offering you just give unto the Lord. I know He'll bless you for that. I forget the day. Is it the second today? Or is it the third? I can't even keep up anymore. Second. Praise the Lord. So today, I believe, is Brother Chris Miller's birthday. We want to wish him a happy birthday. If you're listening tonight, brother, God bless you and happy birthday. And yesterday was Evelyn Torres, so we want to wish her a happy birthday as well. Amen. Let's just sing this chorus together. Brother Aaron, I think he's going to be singing a special for us tonight, so if he'll be getting ready, we'll sing this. I think he's in the key of C.
And no one ever cared for me like Jesus, and there's no other friend so kind as He. And can't find you. Oh, but does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I cry, Lord, you hold in your hand. I'm left your side, and though my heart was torn, oh, well, I will praise you in this storm. Oh, 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 I will, oh, praise.
Determined you're going to do that tonight. That's hard on human flesh. But let me tell you, if you'll do that, if you'll just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that will change the atmosphere, regardless of what it is. Just speaking that name of Jesus changes everything. Praise him in your storm tonight. Will you do that? Amen. Let's stand together as we invite our brother to come tonight and minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us. Let's sing this.
So glad I'm yours, Lord.
If you're glad, help me sing it.
So glad.
Good evening. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an atmosphere here tonight. A worship, pure hearts. Hallelujah. Coming into an atmosphere that is pure, divine, with the Shekinah glory of God all around us. like the holy temple, angels in the temple crying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Praise God, shouting from one end to the next of the temple, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Praise God. The Bible said the posts of the temple shook. Hallelujah. I believe the gates of hell is shaking. Amen. This evening, the saints of God crying out to Him. We welcome you in the house of the Lord. So happy to be back in the presence of the Lord. I want to thank you so much for your fine support and love and outpouring of kindness to the Garrett family on behalf of Brother Matt and Christy and the entire family and grandchildren. What a wonderful homegoing service yesterday for Brother Jimmy. Such an outpouring of love and perfect love amongst the bride of Christ. I want to thank God for that. You know, I was speaking there just a little bit at the beginning of the service, and Brother Matt, I couldn't help but thinking, you know, while in this life, they may have been a hearing impediment, but in heaven there is none. And in the book of Revelation, each church age started with and ended with, "Let him that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." You know, Brother Jimmy, in his natural hearing, may not have had that ability, but in his spiritual hearing, his spiritual hearing was so heightened that he heard the voice of God for this age. Because when the message goes out, it broadcasts this to a large a range of people. Everybody hears it, but only a special selected group has that ability to hear what that prophet messenger has to say for that age. I say he had better hearing than most people that have natural hearing, 100% hearing. Don't you think so? I contribute that to God. His spiritual hearing heard the voice of God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I believe they're shouting on the other side. Thank God, but our prayers are still with the family. And Sister Chris, you don't know how happy I am to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. And when we get to the other side, I'm going to give you a big hug and say, "God bless you, hallelujah." Tell you what, when I got the news she was in the hospital, I was so torn. I was so angry at Satan. I was so upset at Satan. I prayed like I never prayed before. But you know, praise God. This is the second time in almost 2 short months Satan has been after her, but praise God. God's got a greater work for her to do. I believe our testimony, our life is shaking hell is the reason why. But you got some support tonight. God bless you. Good to have you. We're still praying for you. I know you're still a little weak, but to be here tonight, God bless you, sister, and all of the family and losing a loved one and such like. But we're here to worship Jesus. Amen. We are here, and tonight we have Brother Sam Parker. And he's from Bentley, Kansas. He pastors a church there. The name of the church, for those that are streaming, is Word Made Flesh Assembly. I love that. Word Made Flesh Assembly, Bentley, Arkansas. I think the city there is Topeka. Yes, Kansas. And then the greater is Wichita. And I believe Brother Branham actually ministered in both of those areas. So I know there's some predestinated seeds there. Hallelujah. We have in our archives over 1,500 views a day that comes through people listening to these services. And if you're listening, if you're in that area, visit Brother Sam Parker there. He'll be ministering tonight. I've never heard him, so I'm sticking my neck out there, but I know he's going to bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. If something go wrong tonight, blame it on Brother Jonathan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because he was supposed to be preaching tonight, and we switched it up. But I love Brother Jonathan. I know he won't let me down, but I love my brother. I'm just kidding with you. I can feel a kindred spirit. Feel a lot of fire here tonight. His two sons, amen. Listen to the names now. Listen to the name. You know, I love this name. Levi. Levi. Isn't that beautiful? Levi and Aaron. My God. Hallelujah. And what's the other son's name again? Joseph. I like that one better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I love these brethren. Appreciate them so much. Amen. They're good brothers in the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a welcome clap offering and welcome Brother Sam Parker as he comes to minister. God bless you, my brother. All the way from Bentley, Arkansas. God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Love you, too. Thank you, brother. Bless you. Thank you, brother. God bless you tonight. We've enjoyed standing and worshiping with you. I appreciate the presence of the Lord. It makes this part very easy. Need to turn down the monitors just a little bit, if you don't mind. If you would, before we read our scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me. Dear great, wonderful, and mighty God that we serve, Lord, it is a great honor to stand here tonight, Lord. Not just amongst many people, Lord, just some kind of ordinary, simple thing, Lord, but I stand before the very purchased possession of your blood, Lord. I know, God, that I can't just say what I think. I can't just say what I imagine, Lord. I'm very conscious of who I'm speaking to, Lord, and how protective you are of her. I pray, Lord, tonight as I've surrendered myself to you, Lord, that you let me go sit down and take my seat, as it were, and you just come get me when you're done. Speak tonight, Lord God, these great supernatural creative words. We are many here tonight. We're very needy people, Lord. And at the very least, each one of us needs a closer walk with you, Lord. I need that, Lord. I must have that tonight. I pray, Lord, as you're passing by this way, that you would touch me as well. You touch my brother and sister, Lord. Your word is life. It is nothing but life. There's no darkness in it, Lord God. And we trust you tonight. We've learned in our experience and our walk with you that there is none that we can turn to like you, Lord. You cannot fail. You cannot lie. And you do not change, Lord. We trust you tonight with our whole heart. I pray you bless my brothers and sisters and help us, Lord. And we'll be sure at the close of this service, Lord, to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. For you alone are worthy, Lord. And to you is whom we bow. In your name, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. If you, while you're standing, just take your Bible. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Still got a lot of volume up here on these. If we could turn you down just to... I'm kind of a loud mouth, so I don't need much help. People down the street might complain, so I apologize for that. I tend to get excited. All right. So if I get to talking too fast, they do record it, and I just get excited. Forgive me for that. Go down just a little bit more, if you don't mind. A little bit of an echo. Appreciate you tonight. God bless you. I'm your brother. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're at home. This is the family of God. I've got no ulterior motive. I've got no agenda. I love the Lord. I love his word. I love your pastor. It's an honor to be able to stand here. I want you to know that I don't take this lightly. I understand that what my words mean here tonight, that if it was to be influenced by my thoughts, my ideas, or any of those things, that I would repent. But I believe God's got something for us tonight. I believe that with all my heart. And you understand, the prophet taught us that if just one word, just one word from him, it'll change your life. Do you believe it tonight? So I pray that you would listen tonight with your whole heart and believe and trust what God says to you. John chapter 3, verse 5. Let me give you our title. It's Living Behind That Veil. Living behind that veil. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that's born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You may be seated tonight. Now, just to kind of give you a little background about myself, I'm very intrigued by the Word of God. I love how it's written. I love its apostrophes. I love its breaks. I love its semicolons. I love its italicized, how that it will stress a certain point. And we obviously are living about 2,000 years since this was written or put together as God moved upon those brothers and sisters, brothers of ours of old, and you know, saints of old of those times ago. But I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we understand that we can't read this just as you would a newspaper today, flip from page to page, or even comparing verse to verse, as our prophet would tell us. It must be with a revelation. It must be with a revelation. Otherwise, you're just reading words and reading words. And the church world loves John chapter 3 for a reason. You understand, John 3:16 is one of the most quoted scriptures out there. And it's for a reason. But it's not just the one verse. God is standing there in human flesh, and he's telling a man how to get into the kingdom of God. Or better said, to get the kingdom of God into him. To get it into him. Jesus would say in the book of Matthew about that leaven. He said the kingdom of God is likened this, that leaven could be taken and put it into as a lump of wheat or whatever it is. And that leaven will turn this whole big thing of wheat into nothing but leaven. And you think, how can that be that you could take something so small and put it in there and you could see it change it? You find this in the negative as a contrast all the time. All the time you let some kind of crabgrass or some kind of foreign weed get into your yard. If you leave it there long enough, it'll start to take over. You look at kudzu, look at everything like it'll take over. That's the negative thing. But if you let a seed of the Word of God get in and start to water it with faith and start to believe it, start to put it to work and use it for your life, it comes alive. And you get changed in the process. You get changed in the process. The Lord has had on my heart a lot in the last few months about our heavenly home. Now, and I don't know how far we get. We'll see what the Lord does tonight. But you understand that you sit here tonight, you're not just, you know, enter your birth date here, and that's the day you come into existence. You're not just like many other people in the world. You're a very particular people. You're a very sought-after people. You understand that just as much as the devil wants you dead, That's a pretty high honor. It's a pretty good honor to be on Satan's number one hit list. I like that. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. We sang about crying. It's hard. There's a lot of things come and get you. A lot of fights. A lot of trials. But it's okay. It's a purpose for it. All things are for our sake. All things are for our sake. Whatever test you're going through, Satan's a liar. Let me maybe begin with that. Satan's a liar. Absolute liar. You believe that tonight? Now, what I love is that I'm 42 years old, and we've got many different ages throughout the building tonight, but each one of us were born after Satan was defeated. So when you started your first fight, your enemy was whooped. When you started your second fight, he was whooped. And everybody you ever heard of, he was whooped before then too. So when you step up to the fight and you're dressed in Ephesians 6 armor, you got that sword in your hand, it ain't you fighting no more. It's the one that done beat him down. Done beat him down, showed him what was what. I love, in great particular, Luke chapter 10. And as a child growing up, my family would always, if you had a nightmare or was scared, we'd always leave the Bible open to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. And I've always had that memorized all my life. And, you know, God didn't give Satan power, he gave you power. Now, this isn't power from your local magistrate, being a mayor, being a governor, somebody that would pass away in a few years, or maybe even get voted out and who has no real power at all. This is the one who holds supreme power. And he said, I give it to you. That's what he said, I give it to you. You know, the disciples had just come back and were telling him, they're so shocked and marveling and amazing. We cannot believe that even the demons are subject unto us by thy name. You know, they're subject to you as well by his name. You really believe that tonight? Don't sit there and be quiet on me. This is for warfare. This is how you defend yourself. You take that word of God and you slay every child in the land. Every child of the land, they can't stand before you. But he said, don't marvel at that. He said, you marvel that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that a powerful thing? See, you don't just get in there by happenstance. You don't just, well, I was born into this family, and because I was born in this family, my name automatically goes in. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's before you've done anything good or bad. Before you made your first mistake, before you were never taught how to lie. Right. Not one person in this room ever had to be taught how to lie. You were born knowing how to lie. You come to this world speaking lies.
You find in Jacob and Esau that before either one ever done anything good or bad, God hated Esau and loved Jacob. Well, I've done all these things. Sure you have. Yeah, you made a mistake. You're a human. You slipped and fall. You'll still get up tomorrow. You might make more mistakes. But you keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. I'm not worthy. The prophet's got a quote for that. He said, true, you're not worthy, but a worthy one took your place. I love that song. He became me so that I might become him. Lord Jesus Christ became Sam Parker, and by in turn, Sam Parker became... Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Just go on a little bit further in that chapter to verse 27. And John is being talked to now. They've been seeing all these things, all these different people being baptized by the disciples under Jesus. And they're asking this question about, verse 27. John had answered, he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride, he that hath, that's ownership, that's possession. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly to the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I believe that. He that cometh from above is above all. I believe that. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man received his testimony. He that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. See, I believe God is true. And I've told you how much I love this word. And I was sharing about what's been on my heart the last few months about where we're from and where we're going. You know, only way you get there is if you come from there. Your origination, it dictates destination. That's how you know where you remember the predestinate is the only one that's even considered in redemption. Anybody here raise gardens? Ever plant seeds? And you never planted a weed. You never planted a tear. But the one you put in, that's the one you want to come out because you planted it. You planted it. You planted it. Not that your neighbor come along and say, I wanted this. You're like, no, this is the things that I picked out. This is what I want planted. This is what I want to come forth. That's what I wanted. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, if you don't mind. I'll read quite a few scriptures just trying to break into this for us. Some of these things the Lord has been dealing with in my heart. And again, I have to say this, that I love our prophet. I love that we have a brother with a seventh grade education that says things that even would have stumped Einstein if he would have sat in a conversation. You know, Brother Bram was actually in at least one of those symposiums of Einstein back in the 50s. Do y'all know that? And remember, Einstein was have this theory of relativity as far as folding time space, how to move back and forth between these things. And he could only theorize. But you had a man standing with a seventh grade education would tell you, I watched an angel walk through the wall of the room. And then he disappeared in a ball of fire and it's gone again. Einstein, if he'd have seen that, he'd have lost his mind. He wouldn't have been able to understand it. He wouldn't have been able to understand what God was doing. See, we understand that everything here is all for the test. You understand that. And I feel like that even as God has been doing me in this, that it helps me keep my test in perspective. No matter what it is, whether you're sitting here this morning with a hurt toe or whether you're about to leave here and walk right into a furnace of fire, it doesn't matter. It's all for a test. All things, at all times, in all places, work together for your good. That's nothing but the truth. That's nothing but the truth. It doesn't matter what happens from this point on. That's the truth. So if you go through this test, walk through the furnace of fire, there's a purpose in it for you. You believe God like that? See, these things help keep things in perspective. And you're not walking around, woe is me. Why did this happen? There's a quote for that as well. The prophet would say, shame on you Christians that call yourselves Christians, walking around all weary and down. Wait a minute. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It is my strength. Is it your strength tonight? You've got a hard fight. There's been more demons pumped out on this generation than ever before. And they're not just passive, sitting on the sidelines. No, they've brought everything they've got, trying to discourage, trying to beat you down, trying to knock you out, trying to just lay you out any chance they can. But don't worry, they're defeated too. Every one of them, they're defeated too. Because our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal, not whatsoever. They're not from this world. I've been dealing a lot in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 on the things that are temporal. Temporal. The prophet would tell you that anything that you can see, it's not real. You believe that tonight? That anything that you can see, that it's not real, because it will one day pass away. Those things that cannot be seen is what's really real. His word is the only thing that's real. And then if you can get your heart so in tune and focused and surrender to God that you can believe every word, it will change your body. It'll change your body. See, this word, like I said, it's nothing but the truth. This word says things about you that is exactly contrary to how you're sitting right now, maybe. If you're sitting here sick tonight with anything wrong with your body, it's a contrast to what God's word says about you. I believe that with all my heart. Whether I could ever bring that fruit into be able to taste that food, it's still the truth. It's still the truth. The Lord help my unbelief, because it's still the truth. People say, oh, that's just silly. It's not silly. See, we again, this seventh grade education prophet that God give us, he would tell you that before the foundation of the world, God had a picture of you in mind. Now, this sets my heart on fire. It truly does. He's got a picture of you in mind. And you understand that reality of such a statement like that, it's not even you when you were 18 or 19 or 20, because depending on what you happened to you before then, that might not even mean being good enough. We've got a brother in our church that at 4 months old became a triple amputee. So when he was 18, he was still just a triple amputee. But in that picture, which is the spoken word of God, which is the attribute, you believe the thoughts of God are eternal? Yeah. It is the eternal thought of God of what he thinks about you. He sees you well, body, soul, and spirit. You know that picture ain't got complexes. It ain't got offenses. It ain't got scars. It's completely restored and healed and no mark of sin on it. I believe that. Now, that picture's true. What you see before me is not true. This is not true. I must line up with that picture that he has of me. And I believe I will. I believe you will. These things that we go through, it pushes more and more of Sam Parker out, so there's more room for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. See, the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is a major part, but that still gets you on the road. You must surrender. You must surrender. I must submit myself before the mighty hand of God. The prophet again would teach us about doors in a door and door to a heart. And as a young boy being raised the message, I didn't understand the magnitude of such a statement. I thought, well, you know, just sanctified, justified for the Holy Ghost, and it's all good to go. No, you can be living not a great life in such a situation. It's the truth. It is the truth. But as you surrender more and you surrender more, you watch that old man just die out. Just completely die out to where the vision, that portrait of what God has for you, it comes to pass. I believe that tonight. There's not another people on this planet that have such promises written after them. So how's your day going now? His word is true. His word is true. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. I'm going to take my coat off. That's all right. I'm not only loud, I'm also a free sweater. So, oh, thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Brother Pat. Wonderful brother right there. Absolutely wonderful brother. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. I don't know how long you preach them. I don't want to go too long. And like I said, I get excited, so bear with me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And I'll pause there just a minute. I always love to stress this right here because, again, as most of us that know how to read, you're used to absorbing information. So as you're reading a textbook or a letter or a text or in those things, you're running through it. Your brain is, okay, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. You can't read the Bible that way. You've got to stop. You've got to meditate. Sometimes you need to spend an hour on that one verse focusing on that. Thank you, brother. You need to spend time trying to understand exactly what he means by that scripture. You can't just keep flipping. There's times that I've got hung up for weeks on one scripture. Back a year or two ago, I had one scripture just going over and over and over and over and over and over my head. And it's amazing. I didn't get the opportunity to preach on God was dealing with me in that moment. Yes. And because it's an individual affair. Yes. It truly is an individual affair. God, he couldn't swear by no one greater. Because there was no one greater to swear by. Amen. Now, we everybody, you're used to saying this, and you were used to hearing this and all these different things, but you don't understand that there truly is no God like Jehovah. There's no God like your God. Your God. Not like, oh, well, I'll use this one for a while. He's itty bitty. One day I'll swap for a big one. No, there's none bigger. There's none greater. There's none that has made himself more available to you than he has. None. No one's made himself that has obligated himself to you as a body of believers like this God. There's not one out there. And he would ask you in the scripture, and I quote this a lot, but he says, am I a God that's afar off? Way away? No. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. No one greater that he can make this promise by. He really wanted it backed up. And he said that there was no one that he could swear by any greater, so he swore by himself, saying, and this is for you because you're the seed, you're the faith seed of Abraham tonight. So I don't know what your day's been like. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know how hard your month's been, last few months. But this word right here, it ought to put a little pep in your step tonight. It ought to put a fire in your heart tonight. I don't care what I've been going through or how low I felt. Look what his word says about me. That faith seed. You are that faith seed. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, that's where most humans struggle. Oh, I got to be patient. It's supposed to be like a microwave, you know, miracle. No. In his time. In his time. You know, realize again, the prophet would teach us that about the different dimensions that there are. Your first, 1, 2, and 3, time, matter, and space. You have those. We live in the fourth dimension. And then you, looking at time, can see it literally and how it would move. And that's how they can work out your rotation of the earth through satellites and be able to project and maybe idea where it'll be in 100 years as far as that, because we can gauge it this way. You're looking that way at a lesser dimension. He doesn't look at you four-dimensionally. He's got a much higher view. When you get a higher view, you see everything. And again, back to the patience thing. You're in your moment. You don't know why is it this way? Why is it so hard? Why is it going this? And literally just around the bend, there's your promise. There's your promise. Just around the bend. So just hold on. Just hold on tonight. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Here's where it gets good. This is you right here. Now, if you've ever heard me preach, I believe you're to write your name in there. I believe that with all my heart. I believe this scripture does you no good if you think it's only for your neighbor. It's no good if it's only for your pastor or the ministry or the deacon. It don't help you whatsoever. But these promises are unto you and your children and as many afar off as the Lord our God shall call. Now, don't make me get in Romans 8 and prove that you're called. You with me tonight? He said, we're in God. And again, I love commas. I love apostrophes. I love semicolons. Look how he breaks that out. He wants you to understand, God made this promise. We're in God. Now you're about to see his will and how he was thinking about you. Willing more abundantly. Not just, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens. No, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Raise your hand right there. That's you. The immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible. Impossible. Now, I'd like to stop right there. If you had a human on this planet that you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt it was impossible for them to lie. Could not be done. Maybe a physical condition. Maybe whatever it is. But you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew that he couldn't lie. And this person made you a promise.
All right.
You think you trust him? You trust him. He ain't going to lie to him. I believe it. He ain't no human. He ain't no human. Humans, they get old and they pass away. They change their mind. Things get, you know, things alter. Things courses. God don't change. There's two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. Not just, well, I guess it didn't go. No, consolation means he wants you to be fully assured. You understand? Not just, well, you know, didn't work out. Not with God. Not with God. He said he'll bankrupt heaven if he has to. He'll bankrupt heaven if he has to. The immutability of his counsel. I love that. He said that it's impossible for God to lie that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Amen. That hope that we have as an anchor. I hope you're anchored in this tonight. It's an anchor. And the Bible, as it would tell you of an anchor, my mind always jumps to the disciples out on the sea. That storm was so bad that the demons were swore that they were going to kill him. And they're just tossing. The prophet would take like a bottle cap just out in the ocean, that it was just going anywhere. But the thing about an anchor is, once it's grabbed something good and strong, it won't come out. Now, imagine putting that anchor right into the Rock of Ages. Imagine that. It won't come out. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Amen. That within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Now, the beauty of this is it's inserting, there's so many things which we don't have time tonight to get into, but what God did, it's kind of hard to work all this in, for what Adam lost. And what Adam, in his reality, the access that he had to God is nowhere near the amount of access that you have to God. Now, Adam could probably only move a tree. He might could only move a mountain. The prophet could say that if a wind blew through and Eve got cold, he would say, stop blowing, just peace, you know, such like that. And it would do that. But that's the only way he knew God. He only knew him, as I can say this, as just a creator. You know that you know God even in your current walk, no matter what, where you are in this room this morning, you know him closer than what Adam did. You believe that tonight? Is he your redeemer? Is he your healer? Is he your provider? Is he the lifter of your head? Is he the king, your joy of salvation? All these things that Adam didn't know him as. Now that's just a Christian up till 1963. That's just a Christian after the cross, after it's finished, after all that God did as that forerunner, as that wave sheaf, as that Melchizedek priesthood, confirming all of that, redeeming everything that Adam lost. All that was up to 1963. See, I'm not preaching to you tonight from Revelation chapter 2. I'm not preaching from Revelation chapter 3. I'm preaching from Revelation chapter 4. John, the type of the bride, after all these things, come through all of that, and you have promise after promise to the overcomer through each age. It keeps coming up and keeps coming up. The prophet says that promise goes the next age, to the next age, to the next age. Guess what happens the higher it gets? Guess where you're standing right now? Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. The prophet would make that statement about that, entered into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He said, the King, the Creator, this Elohim, the one who's all power, the one who's your Lord and your Savior. He said he kind of pulled his chest back and he stuck you right up in there. He said, not one day will be. Not in the future. He said, right now, you're seated in heavenly places. See, that pulls you out of this normal dimension. And again, this might seem very fantastic and a lot of imagination, but this is the truth of what the message teaches. Because a rapture, a translation, is exactly contrary to anything science can back up or even imagine. All they would be able to say was, I guess years ago, this guy named Enoch just disappeared. And he probably didn't rapture. He probably fell off in a ditch or ravine or somebody kidnapped him. Not really raptured. See, that's not what you believe. You believe that one day that every cell, every fiber, every atom of your body will be changed. You'll accept that full seal of that redemption and you'll be gone. I believe that tonight. That's the promise. That's the prize. That's the mark. That's what you get up in the morning for. Lord, what's next? What's next? What test? What trial? What must I do? Each step gets me closer. I believe that tonight. I believe that with all my heart tonight. It's true. So, we understand Adam made a mistake. Adam, in a topical view, you would say it was a mistake. But in God's view, he said, that's my seed right there. He's just like me. It made him smile. I understand you've got to get out. You can't go to the tree of life. You've got to get out. But that's me right there. That's just like Boaz. He said, oh, that's my seed right there. That's my quality. That's my attribute right there. I'll go. I'll die with her. I love her. I'll die with her. Y'all, it's so easy that how that as a Christian, you have God, you have your Lord, you have your Savior, all the self-same being, but it's so easy because you can't see Him to separate Him. I'm just pointing up so our minds think He's there, than her or him or them or any of those. You're like, no, that's just, no. The Bible would say, because many people say, well, I don't really like this person, or they've done this, or, and maybe it's a true offense. Maybe they actually did offend you or scar you or hurt you in any of those ways, but our Lord Jesus gave His life for you when you were His enemy. Absolutely an enemy. The prophet would teach you, I think it's that day on Calvary, he said, who is my enemy? The one that would murder you if he could get away with it. That's who you should love. Well, the Bible would say, you can't say that I love God but hate my brother. He said, you're a liar. The truth is not even in you. You're a liar. But I can't, but you, no, you're a liar. See, it always comes back, again, not just to you, but to your brother and sister. You've got to be able to live with them. You've got to be able to love them. And as you do, that nature and that attribute of Christ comes out. You've noticed as you've been hurt before and you've been scarred or someone said something, how hard it is for you to put your arms back around them. A lot of times you kind of, like a cockleburr. You've seen a cockleburr. All it is dried up. All it is dried up love, which is life, has left it. And it's just got dried. And that's what the devil does for you with complex and scars. You get dried up. You don't want to put your arms around them and love them. That's the devil. That's not life. But they did this. No one's disputing it. That's what it is. They even tell him, where'd you get all those scars, Jesus? In the house of my friends. But he don't require that of me, does he? If you expect to take a body change, and if you're okay with not that, then you work it out with him. But you won't take a body change without pure love. You will not take a body change. Won't do it. You absolutely won't do it. So, as he worked that out, and he made that propitiation, and I don't know if we'll get over to Ephesians about gaining access. What it's done is it's be able to pull that chasm up to where he made a way across. And the Bible, the prophet would tell you that redemption has two parts. It's a coming out of, and it's a going into. It's coming out of X, Y, Z, whatever you were in, Baptist, Pentecostal, your own thoughts, your own ideas, your own imaginations, anything that was contrary to him. You leave it all beside, you surrender and submit to him, and come into that hidden life with Christ. And that's when the real change happens. That's when the real change happens. But you couldn't have gotten there without the kinsman redeemer making a way. Now, it's not just a redeemer. And that's what I said about John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. And they'll take that and say, okay, we've got redemption. That's all we need. There's so many people, even in the message today, that only want to know that God sent a prophet. That's all they want to know. I don't want nothing else. I don't want nothing else. I only want to know that he sent a prophet. I don't care about nothing else. See, I want to know why he came. I want to know why a man would let his life be suffering like it is and surrender so much of himself. What was the purpose for that? I believe that when he would speak, that he had surrendered himself so much that God could speak through him. That's just what I believe. And I believe that when God let that, you think about the different things that were allowed to be recorded. I do not believe William Branham was a god. I don't believe he's worthy of worship. Don't make me jump in Revelation 19 and Revelation 22 and show you where he's at. He said, don't worship me. I'm of thy fellow prophets, of thy brethren. Don't worship me. You worship him. You worship him. You don't worship me. And I believe that God used that man in such a way that you would have someone to look at as a wave sheet for our day and say, that's how you live an overcoming life. He was human. He made mistakes. He struggled, but God used him. God used him. That's you today. That's where grace comes in. Sure, you make mistakes. Sure, you struggle. Nobody's going to dispute that. But there is grace that's available. And in your day, with a headstone, the capstone coming down, it's grace and grace. How much do you need? If amazing grace is not enough, how about amazing, amazing grace? He's more than enough tonight. He's absolutely more than enough. So this veil, this slipping through as far as what God has, and you understand in the Old Testament when, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, that as he would come through, Moses would spend all that time in the presence of God, that his face would shine so brightly that they had to put a cloak, had to put a veil over his face. It was starting to shine a light, not from this dimension. You understand that? So if you're to jump to Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord is dealing with him and he's moving there, that his raiment begins to shine like the brightest light. That it's saying that his clothes were shining so bright. And then it said they looked cleaner and purer than any fuller could whiten them. Couldn't get them any cleaner. It wasn't the clothes that was shining. It was that body that was shining. That light didn't originate here. It originated there. And it's shining that light and that light through. And you're beginning to get access on this side. And they're telling you what happened there when they saw the light come through. Now again, the Word was made flesh then. Today the Word has been made in many flesh. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Ram said that God broke himself up. That God broke himself up and he put it in a believer. So it's no longer just one body of the Lord Jesus Christ walking around. I'm looking tonight at many bodies of the Lord Jesus Christ walking around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And this is what Paul would say, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No, I can't go in. I can't. I've done this. I made this mistake. You don't know what I've done. No, but he does. Amen. He does. Well, I love this. That so many people think that, well, you know, you don't know what I did. Maybe I did, but you don't know what I thought. Yeah, but he does. There's no hiding anything from him. You're not going to, you know, well, I just thought it in my heart. The prophet would tell you, well, the angel told him, you tell them that the things they think on this side speak louder on that side. No, he knows exactly everything about you. And yet still he chose you. Yet still he chooses this Elohim, the great I am, to move and work through your life every day. See, that's the truth. I don't care how bad a day you had, that's the truth. I don't care how bad your year has been. That's the truth. Amen. Nothing else matters but his word and what his word says about you. Amen. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. A new and living way. This isn't a stagnant religion. This isn't a stagnant relationship. Well, I had an experience years ago. No, it must be a fresh experience and walk with the Lord. It can't be from Sunday to Wednesday. It's got to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Every day, dying out daily. Dying out daily. New and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His very flesh. And now, if we had time to jump into communion and what the beauty of that blood and that sacrament and that life of this created blood cell of God. He's telling them, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They walk away. He's crazy. He's a cannibal. Okay, how about drink my blood? And you'll drink. And they're like, no, it can't be done. You're out of your mind. Let's all leave. He's like, if you'll stick around, I'll explain it in the communion message. If you'll just stick around, you'll understand what I mean. And this flesh, this kinsman redeemer that God so engrafted in the human race and the way he chose to do it. And again, we don't have nowhere near enough time to get to that. By he consecrated through that veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, this high priest over the house of God, which is Melchizedek. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. I pray that his word sets your hearts on fire. Absolutely sets your heart on fire. And it's true. It's the only thing that is true. I love the Lord tonight. How good he is to his people. Amen. I want to read this to you out of questions and answers number one while we're getting to that. Questions and answers number one, 1964. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. You don't see it, you don't taste it, you don't feel it, you don't smell it, you don't hear it. But by faith, when he catches the word, it sends him into a dimension. Oh, praise the Lord. It sends him into a dimension. Oh, this is wonderful. That makes it so real to him till he's just as good as got it in his hand. Just as good as got it in his hand. He knows it's going to happen. Knows it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. But no, I've got to earn it. You can't earn it. You could never do nothing to do it. You couldn't have built yourself up by your bootstraps. You couldn't have been a good person. No, he had to do this for you. Again, John had to be picked up into heaven. I was caught up in that. It didn't say, I grew wings and flew up. I become a good Christian. I flew up. No, someone pulled me into his presence. Pull me into his presence. What a mighty God. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, Adam's his transgression of what was done, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Not as by as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment which was by one to condemnation, the free gift of is of many offenses unto justification. Many offenses. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See, that doesn't say defeated in life. That doesn't say beat down in life. That doesn't say live just tossed about and stressed out. No, it says reign. It says reign. And again, you agreed with me earlier that this is a creative book. This is supernatural words. These are the words of God. And if he said it, he can bring it to pass. He can bring it to pass. Now, he kind of touches on the amount of offenses. You know that they come to the Lord Jesus one day and asked him, how many times in a day should I forgive my brother? And they were asking, would it be 7 times 7? And Jesus makes that statement. He said, I say unto you 70 times 7. Yeah. You know, the question was in a day. 490 times in a day. Not a day of the Lord, not as 1,000 years, in one 24-hour of your day. Yeah. Now, you've been many times, you've made a lot of mistakes. I hope I've not made that many in one day. I pray to God I haven't. Maybe I have. Maybe I've done more. But God has mercy. I'm not talking about living a dirty life. I'm not talking about living a sinful life. I mean, you're human, and you still have things you struggle with. You have to keep. You can't let Satan beat you down with that. You did this. You did this. No, God took them from me, washed me in his own blood, put them in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and they're gone. They're just gone. Where'd they go? You got to ask him. You got to ask him. In the message of the patriarch Abraham, 1964, Brother Brown makes this statement. He says, after 2,000 years has passed, 2,000 years, and yet still he is here in our midst. The mighty conqueror that rent the veil in two, that took every sickness. He took every disease. Do you believe what I'm saying tonight? He took every sickness. That means yours. Amen. You listen to me. That means your sickness. Every sickness, he took every sickness, every disease, everything up on himself. And he bore our infirmities. Again, we're the our infirmities to the cross and our sickness and our diseases. And he triumphed over them. He didn't get away with the skin of his teeth. Oh, man, that was tough. No, triumphed. He wasn't like, whoo, that was a close one. No, he walked out the overcomer. Who is this King of Glory? Oh, he's mighty in battle. Mighty in battle. He cannot be stopped. Cannot be stopped. Raised up for our justification, and he stands alive after 2,000 years to manifest himself as a living Jesus Christ amongst the royal, raise your hand, royal seed of Abraham. Is he alive to you tonight? Is he alive to you tonight? The prophet would ask, is he pulsating to you tonight? To manifest himself as a living Jesus Christ amongst the royal seed of Abraham, who are heirs of all things. And the prophet would say, oh my. Oh, all things? All things. Now, I love, again, how the Bible will word things. And if you were to jump on to Romans and it's talking about what can separate you from the love of Christ, and they use the word nothing or nothing. N-O, no thing. There's no thing. But when it comes to your promises, it's all things. All things. You know, his promises to you are yea and amen. It's not that, not that, not that. No. Come in thou into the joys of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come in. The fruit is real. Taste and see that he's a good God. Taste and see that he keeps his word. What a mighty God. Amongst the royal seed of Abraham, who are heirs of all things, he says, oh my, those who after goes through the test. Promise of the word, if you can believe the word, then you are also the seed of Abraham. That's how you come to it. Amen. He says, if you can't take that word test, then if you doubt it, little suspicious of it, I don't know, is it really for me? Is it really? Is that promise really unto me? I'm not sure. I don't know. Is it really for me? No, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I accept it. I trust you. I receive that for myself. I want to go ahead and say, it's finished as well.
Yeah.
It's already done. A little suspicious of it. You can't hardly believe it. There's something or another you can't believe it. They said, then you don't even come to the prayer line. I wouldn't even fool around at the altar until you get enough grace to know that God's word is true.
Yeah.
And when you once break through that veil of unbelief, then you got the keys in your hands of death, hell, and the grave, because you've got a conqueror who conquered for you. Then you've got Hebrews 13:8 that tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, again, I shared with you that I was raised in the message. This is all I've ever known. And I've heard that phrase, I don't know how many times, that scripture, Hebrews 13:8, that it's so easy to get it common to you. But I believe this Bible, and I believe that these people that's talked about, they are my brothers and my sisters. I don't believe they were perfect. I don't believe that they were just, you know, just spotless humans. I believe they made mistakes like you and make mistakes. But yet God would still perform paradoxes for them. I didn't just say a miracle. I said a paradox. See, a paradox means unbelievable, yet it's true.
Yes.
A paradox. And they're no better than you. No better than you. You think the children of Israel, who if you couldn't see them maybe at the beginning, right at that side of the Red Sea, but you look forward 40 years and see how they turned away from God and turned away from God and left him in a horde. And when all these things kept turning their heart from him, looking toward anything else, he knew that they would do that.
Yes.
And yet he still opened the Red Sea for them. You think he won't do it for you? What do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? He promised he would supply every one of your needs according to his riches and glory. And I just told you, he bankrupt heaven for you. He would bankrupt heaven for you. I believe that with all my heart. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hebrews 2, chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, chapter 12. Ephesians 2, 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There was a time that you were that way. There was a time that you were, as you're becoming a believer. Becoming a believer. Yes, okay, I see something. There's something supernatural there. God has done something not just in that day. He's done something in my day. He proved himself real in this day. Now, I see that it happened there. And as I'm becoming, because again, it's got to work for you. It doesn't matter that the seals are open. It doesn't matter what God's done unless it can go to work for you. It doesn't help you to have all this revelation and all these things built up in your mind and yet not be able to use it for your daily life. It is no profit, no benefit to, I guess I'll just suffer till the body changes. That's not why it came. It came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life and have it more abundantly. See, that's what the word says about you. But now in Christ Jesus, and again, in Christ Jesus. But now. But right now. Right now. And if you're in the conqueror, and if you're in the overcomer, and if you're in the healer, if you're in the provider, if you're in the deliverer, if you're in the waymaker right now, what can be done? Anything can be done. He would tell Sarah years ago at the tent, he would say to the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, with men, many things are impossible, but with me, all things are possible. All things. There's that all again. All things. But now, in Christ Jesus, that's where the believer is tonight. Hidden away in that life of Christ. Hidden away in that Shekinah glory. Hidden away in his presence.
Yes.
But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That word nigh means near.
Yes. Yes.
He's brought you near to him.
Yes.
Near.
Yes, Lord.
See, Brother Eddie made a statement years ago. You understand that most people, even your most nominal Christian, will tell you about the right hand of God.
Yeah.
It's all power. It's always described, all power. The right hand is all power. There's none more powerful than that. You'll agree, right? You agree. There's none more powerful than the right hand of God. Where's his left hand? You'll find it in the book of the Song of Solomon. He's wrapped it around you. His wife. He's got you pulled up close to his side. So you're nigh. You're very nigh to him. Nigh to him. And it's not just that you're standing as another body. He is now inside. He is greater in me than he that's in the world. Nothing but the truth tonight. I'm not lying to you. This is nothing but the truth. We're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now he's telling you what the blood of Christ has done. It's not just redeemed you. It's not, okay, you're pretty, you're redeemed, you're restored, you stay right there. That's not what he wanted. He didn't want you over there. He wanted you right here. Amen. See, it's a love story. I'm a romantic. I love love stories. I always have. But he just pulls you up close to your side, whispers sweet things into your ear, tells you, I've been in love with you a long time. I've been waiting on you to come to maturity a long time, a long time. I've been waiting a long time. You know, the Bible would make a statement that all of creation has been waiting for you to be adopted and manifested. You imagine that. You know, you're standing on creation. This rock was created by him. These trees. All, this was a tree originally. The air. It was a creation. It is a. It's groaning, waiting for you to become manifested and adopted. That's creation. And it was created by him. Can you imagine his excitement? You understand? It's not just as a groom before, oh, here she comes. No, no. He's excited. He's excited. Here she comes. She trusts me more today. She loves me more today. She opened more of her heart today. She loves me more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love him tonight. Verse 14. For he is our peace. He's our peace. Now, if we had time to jump into Daniel 7 and Daniel 11 and talk about that fire that goes before him, that nothing can get past. There's no way to approach it. You just burnt plumb up. And we're not talking about some fire starter on this side. We're talking about the all-consuming fire. There is no, you come up to steel, steel is gone. You come up to a rock, the rock is, you understand, this isn't just normal fire. This is what he is. Our God is a consuming fire. He who is with you, he who is in you are these things. This is what he makes you. So why should you fear? Why should you fear? You realize that we've got, I don't know how many believers. I don't have a count of how many are sitting here tonight of each one of you that are believers. You know, the Bible says that the angels of the Lord are encamped around you. And the Bible also in a place called an innumerable host. An innumerable host. Now, the thing about these angels are, a prophet would tell you that one death angel could come from the furthest parts of eternity here before you could blink your eye and erase this planet just that quick. That's just one of them. And you have an innumerable company all around you. Now, they don't do nothing because he's here. If we had time to jump into Elisha there at Dothan. And Gehazi's losing his mind. He's freaking out. He's scared. Look at, they're everywhere you look, there are chariots. There are soldiers here to kill you and me. And Elisha looks out. Oh, we're going to be okay? Hey, maybe you better take another look, brother. He's like, Lord, open this brother's eyes. And then he looks out, and everywhere now that he can see is covered with chariots of fire. Everywhere you can look, and it's like, wow. Okay, wow. You realize they didn't do one thing? All of those angels, all of those chariots of fire, all of these warriors, they only come to see what he would do. They're curious natures as well. They don't know all things. He said many things are hidden from them, but when he moves, they move. They're curious. What's he going to do next? Oh, my goodness. We see this. We see. See, they can see in that invisible realm. We cannot. We don't see all the opposition, all the enemies that are stacked up, all the demonic forces here just setting themselves in array against you. We can't see that. Your heart might fail for fear if you were to see that. But they can see that. They can see everything that's against you. But it don't matter. There ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper. Not one. It ain't enough. Satan didn't bring enough. He only had however many billion. It wasn't enough. Because when he's here, the Bible said, if God be for us, who could be against us? Who? Who? So I hope you're not scared tonight. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And that word's italicized. Between who? You and him. So, if you had at one time been standing here, and there was a partition, a wall built between you and him. And again, you're here, There's a wall. Maybe you're leaning against the wall. And on the other side is him leaning against that wall. But you could not get through. But he come and he removed the wall. Now, at the very least, you're now standing shoulder to shoulder with a creator. At the very least. But the Bible makes it much more clear than that. He got inside. He come inside. And greater is he. Greater is he. Having abolished in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, to make in himself of twain, one new man, so making peace. Amen. So making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were, there it is again, afar off, but to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now here's what Paul says. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now that's easy to get common. You think, well, it's just so-and-so. It's just brother so-and-so. No, fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. You are sitting beside Elohim tonight. So that should make it pretty easy to love. If you love him, it should make it pretty easy to love one another. You're sitting beside Elohim tonight. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. To turn to over to Ephesians chapter 3, just the next chapter. We've got just a couple more, if we can bear with me just a little bit longer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In whom the whole family, you're that, we just talked about you being that family. What would he possibly do for you? You believe the word of God tonight? You really believe it tonight? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, not twisting about, not stressed out, not worrying, what's going to happen, out of fingernails, and chew them off, got an ulcer, no, you're strengthened with might by his word. He's your peace. There's no more worry. There's no more anxiety. He's here. That he may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and the length and depth and the height. There is no end. You can't reach the end. You can't go up. You can't go down. There's no end to it. You're just guessing. Let's say a trillion, billion, zillion miles. No further than that. Let's say it no further than that. There's no end. There's no end. There's no end. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. He fills all time and space. How is he going to get all of him and all of here? Sound like a paradox again, don't it? Seems impossible, but he can make it happen. He can make it happen. See, if all of him is in all of here, what kind of person would you be? What kind of person would you be? See, I love to talk about that vision. Brother Bram said that he told us about that he was trying to get this big old massive shoestring through the eyelid of a baby shoe. Now, I don't know if we have any babies in the house tonight. I've got a granddaughter about 5 months old, and she would wear a little bit tiny shoe. And if you were to take any of a man's, even a great big man's shoestring, try to get it in that eyelet, you know it won't fit. But what happens when he grows up? What happens when he becomes mature, like Malachi says, raised his calves in the stall? What happens when he becomes adopted? What happens when he starts becoming manifested as the fruit of God, the life of God, that overcomer? What kind of boots would he wear then? Woo! If we were to jump in Ephesians 6 and talk about this kind of warrior, that just like his Lord, just like his Creator, his hand can't be stayed. You know that king said that about our Lord? He told Daniel that. He said, your God is God and none can stay his hand. That means none can stop his hand. Amen. Woo, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. To know the love of God. Now, verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that one day will come if you live right, if you do these things, and maybe you'll work yourself into it. No, it's grace.
Amen.
It's mercy. Again, I'm not trying to preach a dirty life. Don't get me wrong. But Satan will beat you up all day long with anything you've ever done and tell you you'll never be good enough. You'll never be this. You'll never be this. You're right. But he did it. He did it. He's able, and I thank God that he was willing. I thank him that he was willing. He was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I think that'll get you through.
Amen.
I think that'll get you. Well, how long will I make it? Will I fall next week? No, no, no. That's not what he said. I think it'll get you all the way throughout all the ages to the world till there's no end to me. Because this ain't in your own strength. This is in his strength. Isaiah 40 said that he that waits upon the Lord, you get bore up like him. All of a sudden now you got wings like angels. All of a sudden now you're flying to the heavenlies. Amen, amen. Turn to Psalms chapter 84. One more scripture before we close tonight. Psalms chapter 84.
Amen.
Praise our God. Had something come in my heart a year ago or so with all that's been revealed, with all that God has done in our day. I don't mean Paul's day. I don't mean Irenaeus' day. I don't mean Martin's day. I mean your day. With all that God has made possible in this day, I'll ask you this question tonight. What can be done now?
All right.
Come on.
What can be done now? We had our wave sheath, William Branham. We had a first fruits, Brother Branham, that God would allow, even before the seals were open, creating squirrels from nothing. Before the seals were open. Pulling that tumor out of his wife's side before the seals were open. But what's available now? What's available now? Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 84, verses 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Thy tabernacles, and that's italicized. That's telling you who the thy is. O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh, crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. I love that tonight. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. You know the reason why God would still have to call him Jacob? Why he would allow the scripture to be written that way? Because the man Jacob's name changed. And he had to be given a new name. He had to be given a new name. He was called Israel from that point on. But Jacob, before he was quickened, before that seed come to life, you wouldn't have wanted to be his friend. Same thing with Saul. Saul would have murdered you. Jacob would have robbed you blind before their experience with the Holy Ghost. You would not have wanted to be friends with them. But they made mistakes. They had struggles. But God, when he talks about you, he said, I'm still the God of Jacob.
Amen.
Amen.
Still the God of Jacob. Even tonight, he's still the God of Jacob. Praise the Lord. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. That's nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. And we have our musicians come forward. I'd like to sing a song tonight, if that's all right. God's word is true. God's word is true tonight. What a mighty God we serve. You're in a place that might seem peculiar to the outside looking in. The way a believer's life would be. It would call it a peace that passes understanding. You're going through something and you obviously should be a wreck and be knocked down the floor. But somehow you're still standing. Somehow you're still standing. Somehow your neighbors, they can't figure out why you're still getting up, because he keeps me up. And they don't understand how that even after everything you've been through, you'll still get up and serve him. How is that possible? Because I love him. I love him. And your reality, and I don't like to use the word reality, because this is not a reality. This is fake. That's the reality. And everything that's pulling from that side is creating this to meet that side. It's working something in you. That way you can make that translation from this dimension to that dimension. And what a promise that we have in store. What a promise that we have in store. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. Do you know that song, Everything? Oh, Lord, you are everything. Okay. Do you want to learn it? I think it's an F. My boys know it.
Everything, oh, everything, oh, Lord, you are everything to me. Everything, oh, Lord. My treasure, my priority, who can compare to you? Great is the measure of your royalty, O morning star, you truly are. Oh, my treasure, my priority. Oh, who can compare to you? Oh, great is the measure of your royalty. Oh, my treasure, your authority. Oh, who can compare to you? Oh, great is the measure of your royalty. Oh, morning star, you truly.
Song, Within the Veil. Within the Veil.
Within the veil, oh, I now have come into thy holy place.
Such beauty here. down, you know Him that way tonight. It's a secret place. It's a hidden place that the world knows nothing about. But to you, it's everything. Amen. God bless you tonight. Have your pastor come. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Do you love Him? Living behind that veil. That's what Revelation does. It peels off this dimension and puts us into reality. Amen. This is only the partial reality, but we're going to our perfect reality. Hallelujah. This is what Revelation does. It just peels His flesh back. Who I am, who I am. I now can see, Lord, who I am.
Oh, who I am, Lord.
Closer and closer. I can feel the rapture anointing is in the air. Hallelujah. Forget about all this cosmos. Amen. John said, come up higher. I can't do anything with you in the church age. Come up into the realms. Let me show you things that will be hereafter. You know, we're living in the hereafter, not the now. This is just the partial. The perfect is to come. And that which is perfect has come. Hallelujah. That which is in part shall be done away. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face we shall see Him. What a revelation. Have you enjoyed that? Would you like to have Him back? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe Brother Forrest, he's a keeper. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful teaching ministry there with an anointing of evangelism behind it. Very unique gift. Amen. I appreciate that so very much. So appreciate that. Let me say this quickly before we go. November the 19th and the 20th, I think that's a Saturday and a Sunday, we will be having Brother Andrew Dott. I remember his brother Tim Dott. Him and Brother Murphy and Brother Biscoll and the brethren will come and have the meetings there with us. Well, this is his son, and he's in Alberta. He will be here with us to minister that weekend. So I want you to be in prayer. The Lord has been mightily using him. So we're flying him in from Alberta, Canada, to come here, Edmonton, to speak for us that weekend. That'll be a Saturday. And the Saturday night will be for the young people. I want everybody to come out. And then Sunday morning, that's Brother Tim Dott. He will bless your heart. I promise you. I promise you. It's kind of our November meeting. I just kind of schedule it a little later on to have him in. So put that down on your calendar. That's the 9th. Check that for me quick if you have a phone. Someone to the 19th and the 20th. It's a Saturday and a Sunday. It is Saturday and Sunday. Okay, so let's be in prayer about that. Also, I want to bring you greetings from Brother Billy Paul Branham. I had heard to Brother George Smith. He had been sick. So him and I have communicated through the years. I've always had such a nice relationship with Brother Billy Paul and just... I'd heard from him today and just convey his love and his greetings here to the church. And let's just continue to remember him in prayer as he's getting up in age now. But the prophet says, hallelujah, amen. You know the promise the prophet gave. I don't know anything. I'll interpret all of that. I'm just saying, amen. But God is able to keep him in health and strength. Remember Brother Billy Paul Branham in prayer. He's a good friend of ours. I've always been close to my heart. I've always loved him. And I appreciate him. Just remember in prayer, he said for me to greet the church. And you know, this is his favorite song. He likes this song. I can almost see the lights of home. Let's sing that
amen for Brother Billy Paul. I don't know if maybe somehow he might maybe catch the service or something, but I want to sing it in honor to him. Just pray for his health, and may God keep him in his cares. He has been through a lot for this message with our prophet, and I want to thank God for him. You know, I can almost see the light of that city. Amen. I hear them gather around the great right throne with faith. Oh, my. No, you don't know that song, okay? I know we sang that song here. Amen. I can almost see the light of that city. Brother Billy, I'm sorry. I embarrassed myself. Amen. But praise the Lord. Come up. Amen. Come up. Let's sing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I can almost see the light of that city. Amen.
I can almost see the light of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne.
Singing again, I can almost. I can almost see the light of that beautiful city. I tell you, those old songs just ring in my spirit. Amen. Just actually singing that today and just loving the Lord. It's closer than we ever think. We can see the light of home. Hallelujah. All the darkness will fade away. I believe some people that are here today that I'm speaking to is pacing the darkness in this age. You're piercing all the darkness around you. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil keep you down. Cloud your mind. Amen. Just shake it off. Amen. You know, shake the devil off, right? I know you know that one. All right. I just want to make sure I check before we sing it. Amen. Shake. Come on, Eddie. You got to shake the devil off, okay? Can you help Paul? Amen. Hallelujah. Shake the devil off. Shake
the devil off. Oh, shake the devil off.
In the name
of Jesus, shake the devil off.
He's under my feet.
Oh, he's under my feet. Shake the devil off. Under my feet, shake the devil off. Oh, he's under my feet. Shake the devil off.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Shake. One more time. Off.
Well, shake the devil off. Shake the devil off. Shake the devil off.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Shake the devil off.
Hallelujah. Bethany tells me she goes down the road and she's driving suddenly. Adeline, Kate, and Everly Rose is singing, shake. Shake the devil off. I said, they're hearing what you're saying. I hope you're, you know, shake. Oh, shake the devil off, and in the name of Jesus,
shake the devil off.
One more time.
Oh, shake,
shake the devil off. Shake, 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 shake. Shake the devil off. Oh, shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus. Shake the devil off.
God bless you and love you. Appreciate you. Service will resume here. Children's Church at 9:45, Sunday School at 10. We'll have Brother Branham playing between 10:30 to 11 in a message study. Then on at 11 will be regular worship. I'll be ministering again this Sunday, part 2, on the Emerald Bride, and we're going to go on up higher. Hopefully we'll get around the throne where the anointing is by the grace of God. How many enjoy last Sunday? Amen. How many enjoy the word tonight?